This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Well, it's the day after Christmas for those of you who celebrate. Probably some family members still at your homes. Maybe you're traveling somewhere or traveled somewhere. I know there were some people that were trying to catch up because of all the flight cancellations. But we wish you and yours a very upcoming Happy New Year. Hard to believe a week from now we'll be in 2023. So Kate Delaney, if you've never joined me for this show, welcome. We have a lot to talk about here, and we're going to get to some of the big interviews we did over this past year, people that I met and introduced you to that I really, really enjoyed. A massive winter storm brought a white Christmas for some of the country, but about 60% of the U.S. has been under a winter weather advisory warning that we talked about a lot, that went from the Great Lakes to the Mexico border. 34 people and counting, I hope that stays at that number, are dead as of today. More than 1,700 flights were canceled as of yesterday. In the Buffalo area alone, there were 25 people who died, and there were four that died in a major car pileup in Ohio. In Jackson, Mississippi, I know we have lots of listeners there. I know you need to boil your drinking water. You've sent me that in some of the emails. There are water lines that burst in the cold temperatures. That was the problem there. The good news is warm weather is on the way, thank goodness, because you think about Chicago, New York City, Buffalo, they have had the worst blizzard conditions in the last couple of days, and they're going to get that reprieve. Three buses, this was a big story, of recent migrant families, arrived from Texas near the home of Vice President Kamala Harris in that crazy record-setting cold on Christmas Eve. Texas authority types haven't confirmed their involvement, but the bus drop-offs are in line with what's been happening by border state governors, Ron DeSantis in Florida, and the other one being Governor Abbott, trying to bring attention, they say, to the Biden administration's immigration policies. The buses that showed up Saturday near the VP's house carried about 100 people, and the people on board included some very, very young children. Sad about this, for sure, because of that record-setting cold, there were some that were just wearing T-shirts. You know, the temperatures there were 11 degrees, maybe it got up to 15 degrees. So a White House spokesperson called the bus drop-offs a cruel and dangerous stunt. Stay tuned for more on this probably later this week. This is a huge story, not to be undone by everything else that's going on, because last year we talked so much about Ukraine and the Russian invasion. Russian President Vladimir Putin is saying his country is ready to end the war in Ukraine. He did a state televised interview that was partly released the other day that Russia is preparing to negotiate some possible outcomes. So what does that mean? He says that Ukraine is the party who refuses to participate in peace talks. So that gives you a little hint there. A repeated Russian claim, of course, throughout the country's year-long invasion. Remember, state-run television. I've talked about this before. What do you think they're pumping out? Propaganda. So is this a shift in Russia's approach? As Russia gets ready to attack Ukraine again and again and again, because at least three missiles hit the other day in the Donetsk region, and Russia shelled the southern city of Kherson on Saturday, killed at least 16, and that city was retaken by Ukraine, you know, last month. Again, another thing that we're watching going into 2023. Big news for Avatar, not shocking. James Cameron's sequel has made more than $250 million at the North American box office. That's not even talking about overseas. That's in the first 10 days. Avatar, you remember, went on to become the highest grossing film, the original of all time. And Cameron's movies have been big, huge box office hits. So this is the way of the water. This is what this Avatar is called, the sequel. and just raking in serious, serious money. When we go into 2023, we will continue or start back up some of our cheap movie reviews with a few little twists here and there, some interviews with directors and actors and some up-and-comers in a segment that we'll do maybe once every couple of weeks, because a lot of you have asked me about that. So, yes, we are bringing that back. In the sports world, it's been pretty interesting to watch the end of the football season, that's for sure. There was a ton of football games obviously played on Christmas, because it's Sunday. There was also games that were played on Saturday, Christmas Eve. The Cowboys-Eagles game did not disappoint. We did not have a nail-the-score winner. We play this game where I pick once a week the game of the week, and you get to pick who you think is going to win and what the score is going to be. So nobody nailed the Cowboys beating the Eagles 40-34. The Eagles, of course, are 13-1 and did not have Jalen Hurts, who has a hurt shoulder, and it was smart of them to rest him. Some other highlights include the Packers. Aaron Rodgers said he's going to clear the board, and so far he's doing that because they've had a really rough season, but they beat the Dolphins 26-20. And then in the meantime, you have like the 49ers, who now are 11-4. They beat the Commanders 37-20. The Texans, that's a throwaway game, beat the Titans. I wouldn't have never said that in the beginning of the year with the great Derrick Henry, who still had a great ground game, 126 yards and a touchdown, but they were beaten 19-14. The Ravens are 10-5. They beat the Falcons 17-9. The Panthers with a win over the Lions 37-23. Bengals also beat the Patriots. The Vikings beat the Giants 27-24. For Viking fans, you know, our mothership is in Minneapolis, in the Minneapolis area, 12-3. The Chiefs are also 12-3. They beat the Seahawks 24-10. The Saints, who dat nation, ton of New Orleans listeners, how you doing out there? And people from Louisiana, 17-10. Nice pickup for them. Deshaun Watson's interception set up an Alvin Kamara touchdown, but in the end, beaten. So that is a very nice win. The Bills beat the Bears 35-13. Jags on Thursday, heading into the week, beat the Jets 19-3. So you're caught up to date on all of that because we're getting closer and closer to the playoffs. Coming up on this show, a conversation with David Zekman, who I really enjoyed. He's a guy who started off as a high school teacher and a coach, and he answered an ad and became a respiratory therapist. Then he went on to have an interesting career as CEO in the healthcare industry, but he had believed in servant leadership. And now more than ever do people need that kind of leadership. So this conversation was a really, really good one. He has a great book out. David Reedman in Australia talks about the importance of being a good father and what does that really mean and what does it take to be a good father, in his opinion, and some of the people that he's mentored. And he's excellent. So I look forward to you hearing that if you missed that. And one of my favorites, John Gibson, you remember him from Fox, all those years on Fox and so many other networks, 50 years of interviews, of being an incredible reporter. He now is an author. And we've had him on a couple of times, and we had a great conversation with him about his character, Mickey Judge, and what he goes through and what he's trying to accomplish. And he has some really good adventures in this book, just like John Gibson did, I think, in his career as well. So once again, happy holidays. Stay with us. Coming up, David Zekman.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late. In 17 years, Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
So the title of the book is Driven by Compassion, 8 Values for Successful Servant Leaders. Wow. Here's what I like. Successful servant leaders. Wait till we dive into this with David Zeckman. He is the author of this book. We had a great off-air conversation where we started talking in the very beginning about where he started and what his goal was, which was a really lofty goal to be a CEO. And, of course, he achieved that, but he started at the bedside right there from the very beginning in Cleveland, Ohio. And, of course, this isn't the healthcare industry. So, David, thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity, Kate.
So finish that story for everybody, because I love this. You did have that goal about becoming the CEO, and you did achieve that. But I think the difference probably for you and why this book, it was in you, is because you started right from the very bottom, so to speak.
I did. Thank you. I'm very proud of that. It's a little bit of a unique situation. I started my career as a high school teacher and a coach and football and track, and I loved it, but decided that I want to do something different, and I answered an ad to get into healthcare as an on-the-job trainee respiratory therapist in Cleveland, Ohio, which is my hometown. And so I started at the bedside, and but as I was working, I enjoyed patient care, but I thought, you know, I had this pull, this yearning for leadership. I thought I could make a difference with a servant leadership style as I did as a teacher and coach, and decided that I set a goal that I wanted to be a CEO of a hospital. So I started working. My first management position was as a night shift supervisor in respiratory therapy, and I was a working supervisor and decided that in order for me to grow, I'd have to leave Cleveland, my hometown, and moved to Kansas City and worked for a big, large healthcare system there for 10 years, and then to Louisville, and then back to rural Missouri as my first time CEO, and then Northern Michigan when I worked for McLaren Healthcare. So I went from the bedside working nights with a loyal, dedicated group of nurses to be a CEO. And I never forgot that. It was something that I felt was always something to my advantage in my leadership because I had a strong empathy for people that had to do the real work of healthcare, and that's healing patients.
Yeah, there you go, the real work of healthcare. So behind this book, what drove you to write the book?
Well, when I retired as a hospital CEO in January 19, I still had this, again, I had that pull again like I did when I got in healthcare and said, you know, what can I do to make a difference in terms of leadership? And I felt like I had unfinished work. So I decided that I would write a book. And I was encouraged to do that by friends and associates, and decided that it was time to share that passion. And to I read a couple other books. I interviewed 30 leaders, all the way from CEOs of large healthcare systems to supervisors, and even the captain of the track team that I coached in, when he was a senior in high school. And so I felt like. The other thing is that I really believe in the world we live in today. When I started a book, and that was right just before the pandemic, that employees want to be led, but they want to be led in a different way. And they want to be led, they want to be valued. They want their leaders to support their growth. They want their leaders to help them be successful. And quite frankly, I didn't think that was happening enough. And so I thought I would try this and share my leadership philosophy of that and go from there.
In the book, what will we learn? What will we find out?
Well, what we'll find out is that this style of leadership, number one, it will the goal is to help leaders today to remember why they got on the leadership. And it's a privilege to be a leader, and it's an honor to be a leader. To remember that again, to renew that vow to be the best leader, the best servant leader possible, and to refresh and to regain that passion and enthusiasm for doing the right thing, which I believe this is the right thing in terms of treating people. I just spoke at a conference in a Corazon conference. It's a consulting company in Nashville on Tuesday, and presented my book. And so many people came up to me afterwards and said that, oh, my gosh, this is so great. It helped me remember it. You know, it gave me more enthusiasm again to go back, and I'm going to take your book, and I'm going to go back and incorporate those values into my leadership style. It's very gratifying.
And see, like you say, 8 values. We're not going to tell everyone everything, but give us a couple of the values.
Okay. Well, the values were the number one. One of them was walk the talk. And walking the talk was rated by the people I interviewed as the most important value being a servant leader. So walk the talk means living and breathing love and compassion values in your daily leadership journey. If you're not walking the talk, there's absolutely no way that you're going to build that servant leader relationship with those you lead. So that was the most important one they rated. The second one was communication and practicing regular and consistent communication tactics that include genuine encouragement and honest feedback. I share in the book that the CEO is short for being chief executive officer. And in reality, a CEO should be the chief encouragement officer.
And oh, yeah.
I asked the question in the book, how many of you had too much encouragement in your life? And, you know, so everybody responds to encouragement. And so what you gain from this is, as a leader, is that you gain greater job engagement, more productivity, better organizational results, and better results both for the person you lead as well as yourself. So in the world of the great resignation that's going on and the fact that employee retention has risen to the top of every CEO in the country now, this is a tool and a tactic to ensure that.
Oh, yeah, boy, now more than ever, the quiet quitting, like you said, the great resignation. How do you keep good employees? How do you keep good talent? Yeah. How do you find good talent? And, boy, encouragement, I so agree. What a great question. And then to flip around what CEO is, what do you hope people walk away with when they read Driven by Compassion, 8 Values for Successful Servant Leaders?
Well, what I hope is that, as I said, you know, I hope that it makes them rethink how they are interacting with the people they lead, and that it will create, again, as I said earlier, greater productivity, certainly job retention, as we just said. You know, there is a shortage of workers, and so we have to do a better job as leaders of retaining our employees, especially the strong ones. Now, this style, by the way, being a compassionate servant leader doesn't mean hugs and kisses. And really what it does is it demands accountability, but it demands accountability in a different way, in a compassionate way. And the other thing about it is, Kate, is that it's very enjoyable. It's fun. I would rather have fun and enjoy my time as a leader, seeing the people I lead grow and see their happiness and see their satisfaction than not. I can tell you, share a quick story with you. When I was doing rounds in one of the hospitals I led, I walked into the laundry. How many people go into the laundry, right? And I said, I came in and they said, Mr. Zechman, do you know how to fold our laundry? And I said, no. I said, can we show you? I said, sure. So I said, and I was terrible. They were laughing and I was terrible, but they do such an important function and we had so much fun. And I have to say this, me going in there and doing their work with them, you think that made a difference in terms of the value they feel to the organization? Of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, because you were there. Yeah,
I was there. It's one of my favorite CEO stories, and I'll relish that forever. And that made the rest of my day was I didn't care what happened the rest of the day. So I was very happy after that, and it was very gratifying. But I hope that again, it's time to change leadership. It's time to help people be successful. And if you help people be successful, that are the people that you lead, then you're going to be successful. And it just makes sense.
Yeah. And now more than ever, boy, especially coming out of what we've just come out of, I think this is vital, right?
Oh, yes. I mean, you know, there's still a lot of tension and worry from the pandemic. And, you know, I don't want to, you know, hyperbole here, but the pandemic, as we all know, has probably changed things forever in many ways. And I think that in a good way, the pandemic will make leaders look at how they treat people differently, how they need to treat them appreciably and positively, and maybe more than we did in the past. Maybe we took our leadership for granted in the past. And leadership is a gift and a privilege, and we should never forget that.
Yes, yeah, so well said. And again, I love the title, Driven by Compassion, 8 Values for Successful Servant Leaders. You can get it Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Thank you, David, so much for coming on.
Well, thank you. And thank you, Kate, for allowing me to share my passion with your audience. And I'm honored that you asked me.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Wishing you the brightest of Christmas seasons and best wishes for the new year from the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
U.S. USA News Update. Another foot of snow could fall in western New York, where officials are urging everyone to stay off the roads. Governor Kathy Hochul says so far, more than 550 rescues have been made throughout the weather event. Across the U.S., around 50 deaths have been reported due to the storm.
Our hearts are breaking for them.
This weekend's bone-chilling cold certainly led to a call by local utilities to conserve energy and temporarily turn down thermostats. In New York, energy spokesman Jamie McShane said there was an unprecedented nearly 50-degree change in temperature that stressed the interstate pipeline systems.
Those pipelines had equipment problems caused by the increased demand.
Google is out with its annual year-end search list, and there's one thing noticeably absent this year. COVID was not among the top searches. Instead, people were busy searching for a lot of things pertaining to workouts and how to handle stress. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Australia for a conversation with David Reedman. His book is A Man's Greatest Challenge. And what is a man's greatest challenge? And that is the other part of this is being a father. We had an interesting conversation off the air, and it's something that I've talked about here on this show with many different people. The situation we find ourselves in now, especially with young men and what's happening in the world. David, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Tell me your road to writing the book. What made you decide you were going to write the book?
For me, it's the culmination of a personal journey, firstly. I grew up in a strong home and family. When I went out teaching, initially I was a secondary school teacher. The school I was teaching in was the worst in our state. And the homes that the children came from that I taught were completely different to mine. There were some good homes, some bad ones, and that stimulated me to let's have a look at and just observe and see what I can learn. What makes a good father? What makes a bad father? Because at that stage, I was still single. When I married, I wanted to be the best dad I could. Since then, we have worked a lot in as a minister and in youth training and leadership and mentoring. And it became more obvious that there are many young men growing up who want to be a good father, but just really have no idea what's involved. And so the experiences from my mentoring and in ministering and working with families as a minister and so on, began to do that personally and was then encouraged by a number of people and prompted particularly by my three kids, Dad, you need to put this in writing so that more people can access it.
We're not going to tell everybody everything, but give us a couple of nuggets of what does it take to be a good father?
I think to be a good father, one, you need to be committed to the task and realize that it's an ongoing task that never changes. It just goes on year after year after year. It's a task that you'll never see the full results of, but you're actually building a legacy that you'll see in your children and your grandchildren as they live along. The important principles I think that I've found, it's important to love your kids, and love for children is spelled T-I-M-E. It's about the time that we spend with them, the time that we're involved in what they're doing. And that's an important principle that I've found, and it's outworked in many different ways. Another one is the power of the words that we speak. Almost every child or every person that I've spoken to, even as an adult, as a minister, all of them can remember words that were spoken either by their parents or a teacher or a sporting coach when they were young that is still influencing their life, positive or negative, today. And so as a father, the words we speak are so incredibly important into building the lives of our kids.
How gratifying is it when you really embrace that role as your children were telling you you should write this book? What's that feeling like?
For me, there are a lot of things I'd like to achieve in life, but the greatest thing I ever want to achieve and ever want to be remembered for come my funeral is I was a great father and a great dad and a great granddad. And now my children are all married. They're all in the process of having their own children and grandchildren. And they consistently, in cards on Mother's Day, Father's Day, and those sorts of events, writing to us as a family, comment on what they've appreciated and how I've inputted into their life and how it's now enriching theirs. And to me, that's the greatest satisfaction I can get.
Yeah. Mentoring, that word comes up a lot. And I think sometimes people don't understand what mentoring is. When you decide you're going to mentor, and when you're mentoring boys who are in a situation maybe where they don't have that strong father figure, they don't have a father, there's been a divorce, there's been something else that's happened, or they lost their father, that's a key thing that you talk about, right, mentoring?
It is. It's an important thing, and I think mentoring involves, the same as raising children, mentoring involves time. You've got to be committed to spend time with the person that you're working with, that you're journeying with as they go through. You need to know what you're talking about first, and I think I've got a reasonable amount of experience there. And you need to be open to sharing your life, not just your successes, because I think I've learned more sometimes in the mistakes that I've made rather than necessarily the right thing I did from the word scratch. And helping them to see as you walk the journey with them that, hey, you can learn something from good things, you can learn something from bad things, and that you're there as a mentor to support them, not to judge them, but to support them in what they're doing and help them to become more effective as fathers.
We're speaking with David Reedman. His book is A Man's Greatest Challenge, Being a Father. Are you worried for where we are as a society in the United States, in Australia, in the UK, and around the world? Because people all over are listening to this interview.
I am concerned about the future. I mean, various people, some of your presidents, George Bush and Barack Obama and various other people have highlighted in significant addresses, State of the Union addresses and those sorts of things, that fatherlessness they see as one of the major social ills affecting society, American society today. The young men represented in prison population, in taking their own lives, in drug addiction and so on, the vast percentage of those young men significantly are people who came from fatherless homes and families. Research in Australia is in the last 10 years is showing that a child's social development, their language skills, their results in school, their ability to be able to get a job, the level of their income, all those sort of things in later life are affected by whether a father's at home or not. And the fact that fatherlessness is increasing in our society doesn't go well for our society.
Boy, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. The you have a website, amansgreatestchallenge.com, www.amansgreatestchallenge.com. The book itself, what do you hope people take away from reading the book?
I hope that they take away from the story, because it's written, I suppose, from the, it's the things I've learned, and I've used lots of personal examples, that they themselves, there are some simple principles that if they implement those effectively, they can begin to see positive changes taking place in their lives and in the lives of their kids. And I want them to be encouraged that they can do it. It is possible. It will never be easy, and I don't think it ever has been easy. But it is possible, and the rewards at the end are more than worth all the effort and time you put into it.
Yeah, what are some of the simple principles?
I think for me, one of the simple principles, I think, is just talking with kids, the language that we use, and we need to talk to our kids. We need to teach our kids, which is more than just talking to them, but it's actually explaining what we're saying and why we're saying it, and that's going to be relevant to where they are in terms of their growth and development. We need to train our kids. In the past, it was traditional and still is in some societies in the world that a young person, a young man, and then also a young woman, are trained by their parents in the trade of their parent. And while we don't do that in our Western society, there are so many areas in life where we need to train, which is more than talking and more than explaining it, but it's working with them hands-on in whatever it is we're trying to do, whatever they're trying to achieve. And in that process, and it all takes time, there's a process of transfer. You gradually, I'm at a stage now where now I do and have done for years, can look back and see there are so many things that I'm doing that I unconsciously picked up from just watching the example of my father. And now I've put that into practice in my life, and I'm seeing my children and more recently my grandchildren doing things, and it's kind of like, as my son said the other day when I celebrated my 70th birthday, he said, "Dad, when I look at the lives of my kids, I see them doing things, and I remember, hey, Dad used to do that. Dad showed us how to do that." And those principles, just some of the principles that are important in building a great family.
And it has to make you feel good that you know that the influence was there because it was from your father to you, transferred to your children, and then so on and so forth down the line. So there really is no doubt those critical moments are those formative years, right?
They are, and they're so important. And I think one of the things that, I mean, there was a lot of debate years ago about whether we spend quality time or quantity time with our children. And for me, I don't think there's any real distinction between the two. I think when you spend time, my son for a period during his high school years was picked for an elite volleyball training squad here in South Australia. And at that stage, he couldn't drive. So I used to drive him backwards and forwards to every training session. And that literally consumed hours every week. But it was often in those times when he would raise things in a conversation that you could begin to explore. Hey, the kids at school have been talking about this or doing that. What do you think? And it's those sorts of things that you transfer something across, something's taught, something's imparted in their lives. It wasn't intentional. Sometimes you can't plan for it. It's a matter of just being there and open to the opportunities.
Yeah. Wow. What a terrific interview. David Reedman, A Man's Greatest Challenge, Being a Father. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or wherever great books are sold. You can go to the website, and that's www.amansgreatestchallenge.com. Thanks so much.
Girl, I was made for you. Girl, you were made for me.
those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, katedelaneyradio.com, I have a steal of a deal. Check this out, just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at katedelaneyradio.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Welcome John Gibson onto the show. You know him. For decades, he was a television news reporter, a network news correspondent, a cable news anchor. I could go on and on and on. And a radio talk show host, too, as well. And we had him on before the book that he wrote, O.J.'s Knife. We talked about that. Now he's got a new one out, Death in the Reeds, a Mickey Judge mystery. And I just said to him before he's in our virtual agreement, before we pull him on, that, darn it, he pulled me in. I was on a flight from Florida to Texas and then had a little puddle jumper thing. And I read the whole thing. It pulled me in. Something about the way that John writes and especially this story where you're connecting the dots in a couple of really interesting areas. So, John, thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for reading it.
So I like that. Thanks for reading it. So we're talking about some really cool things, intriguing things in this one. You know, the Iraq War, of incredibly priceless antiquity that is ultimately stolen from the Iraq Museum. And, you know, we heard stories about things like this. So it's interesting. I like the way you, in a way, pull from things that we know, especially in this book. So how'd you set out to pick this one, right? This one, this theme.
Well, you know, when I was working for Fox, there's a guy named Bogdanos who is a U.S. attorney and a lieutenant colonel in the Marine Reserves, and he wrote a book called The Thieves of Baghdad, about the looting of the Iraq Museum. And it was a fascinating book, and I interviewed him and talked to him at some length. And this one piece always fascinated me because there's one at the British Museum, and then there was one at the Iraq Museum, and that was it. There's two of them in the world. And one of them went missing, being looted, and as far as I know, still missing. And I just thought that this was a good premise to, you know, for fiction, for what happened. You know, just let's imagine what might have happened. And I plugged my character into it, Mickey Judge, the ne'er-do-well TV reporter, and some other characters. You know, after 50 years of interviewing people and running around being a reporter, you meet a lot of people, as you know, from what you're doing right now. And I didn't want any of them to go to waste, so I used a lot of the people that I knew or ran into to base characters on in this story. And, you know, it's just in my little story, there is a chase for this object. And the TV reporter guy gets involved, and he's trying to help a friend of his who is making the mistake of trying to deal in this antiquity, which, by the way, you know, if anybody actually did do this, you know, steal it and then try to sell it, it is hugely illegal, hugely illegal. And so my character, Mickey, is telling his friend, this beautiful TV anchor, you know, don't get involved in this. You could go to prison or worse. And, of course, she gets into worse in the story.
Yeah, and she, you know, as you say, Cass is her name, and she really does take it all the way to the limit, so to speak, to steal a line from a famous song. So give us a little meat of the story, and you have set it up, but give us a little more on Cass and how this whole thing happens.
Okay, so what happens is Mickey Judge works for a cable news network, which I have named the Empire News Network, and you can kind of guess who that might be. And he gets fired because he picks a fight with a vice president, and they blow him up, and he's now, you know, he's got to do something. And his agent sets him up with a job in his hometown, which is San Francisco. So he returns to San Francisco, and there, who, you know, been there all along, is his former almost girlfriend. I call him an almost girlfriend, who has now become a big TV star. And she is married to the black female district attorney in a fake lesbian marriage. The black female district attorney is a gay woman. Cass is not, but they're, you know, the stars of the city, this couple. They go to all the opening nights, and she's trying to find a way into the many millions of dollars that are being made in the Bay Area. And she just figures, well, now that she's going to all the best parties, she's going to meet somebody who's going to get her involved in something, you know, like a startup or a ground floor position and something like Apple or something to make a lot of money. Well, what actually happens is the brother of the guy who steals the thing in Iraq contacts her and says, you have billionaire friends. I have something they would want. So let's make a deal. And there's some twists and turns that go on in trying to get the object to San Francisco because it's in Beirut, and then it's in Iraq, and then it crosses Syria, and then it's in Beirut, and then it's in Paris, and somebody's got to go get it. And the brother of the guy who stole it is the one who is sent off to get it. Now, then when it arrives in San Francisco, in hot pursuit is a sort of a, I guess I would call him a hitman or a killer, who is working for some Russians. And you have to imagine who they ultimately are working for. in order to obtain this antiquity for his collection. You know, I mean, in my little story, all the missing art in the world ends up in Vladimir Putin's private collection. And so there's somebody chasing it who's a very dangerous fellow. And his the principal way that he dispatches people is to pick them up and throw them off of high buildings. He doesn't like knives. He doesn't like guns. He doesn't like strangling. He likes just pitching somebody out of a window. Mainly because unless somebody actually sees him, there's no way to trace him for this killing. So he's busy killing people, and he's in hot pursuit of this, and he arrives in San Francisco as well. And now she's in big trouble because she's got it, and there is a killer who is after it. How much farther you want me to go?
You so we don't want to give all the details, but you really set this up nicely. I think you know how to tell a story. Like you said, you did it for many, many years, and you're doing it on the page now. Ultimately, and I guess this is probably a layup question, but for any writer, what do you hope people take away from hearing our conversation, getting your book, Death in the Reeds, a Mickey Judge mystery?
Oh, I hope they say, yeah, I got a plane flight coming up. And I could kill 2 or 3 hours or four, or I'm going someplace warm and sunny, and I'm going to sit on the beach. I could use an interesting read. It's not like War and Peace. It's not going to take you 5 days of reading. You know, I don't know. What did you do? Maybe 4 or 5 hours, and you had it done.
Yeah, it was less than four.
It's a good read. It's not terribly long. It's like mid 200 pages, and it moves quick. I don't belabor the reader with a lot of poetic descriptions of the fog pouring in over the top of the Golden Gate Bridge or any of that kind of thing. But I think I do. You know, I think that a good novel has a strong sense of place. I've always enjoyed Michael Connelly's books because he just makes L.A. come alive.
Yeah.
And what I was trying to do here is really make San Francisco visual. As you're reading this, you see San Francisco.
Yeah, and I think you absolutely accomplished that. Hey, we have like a minute and change left. What's next? I mean, you're going to do another Mickey Judge mystery, right?
Oh, yeah, there's number three is almost done, and I'm trying to figure out what number four will be. I only have so much time left on the planet, and what I'm trying to do is churn out one a year. So we'll see how many I get before, as King Charles said, before my time is up. But you can get this one. I just remind people it's probably hard to find in the bookstore, so go to Amazon.com. Death in the Reeds, and they'll have it to you in a day or so.
Excellent. John Gibson, always fun to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Kate, good to talk to you. Thank you.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.